Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas, February 25th, 2020. Hosting along with myself tonight, the man on a mission, Gary White.
How you doing?
How you going?
I'm doing...
You got a smirk on your face. That's a good thing, I guess, because when you're not smirking, then you're a pain in the butt.
I'm always happy.
And in studio, Chuck DeGuevara.
Yes, I'm here. Invited back again.
There you go.
And three in a row.
And we saved the best for last, Matt. We didn't forget about you, Matt. Esposito. thanks again. We missed you, man. We can't be live without you. You're a live person.
Hello? Hello over there.
I don't care what's
radio.
Yeah. I'm so tired from working. I don't know if I'm coming or going.
I hear you, man. How's it going, man? Keep busy?
Yeah.
Cool. Still chugging along in Subaru.
Yep.
I see that.
Subaru's
so that's a good thing.
Good.
Yeah, see? I saw a Subaru commercial. It saves lives. So you're safe from that Subaru. 8 years in a row, safest vehicle. I don't know who does the. Who does the research, but you're safe. You're in safe hands with Subaru.
Yeah, I think there actually is a report that there's been no deaths in a Subaru.
Wow.
Not possible. Insurance claims adjuster.
Now, there's probably details to that.
Maybe they died
that
after they got out of it.
Right.
They don't pull from them then died. You know, but no, that'd be a hard one to believe.
Right.
I do.
But interesting.
I do too many major claims.
Well, you would know. Yeah,
I'm an insurance
guy. You know how many
guy.
Accidents happen daily.
Man, I've been doing it for 43 years. I've seen everything, including in highway patrol and his brain still stuck in the roof of his convertible.
Do you get like the reports that with the explanation of how the accident happened and stuff?
Sure.
You probably see some stuff like, well, how is this person saying this? But I can see it happen like this.
No, you can look at a claim and go, yeah. Mm-hmm. The world's famous claim is, I got wrecked at Walmart. I came out of Walmart and my car was wrecked. Really? Got that concrete in the whole side of your car. You hit a wall or a pillar. What'd you hit?
It came at me. Trust me.
No, it ain't. And I get the same thing over and over again. That was a car. Your car is concave, exactly like a pole.
You know it's not. Yeah.
Only
it's got yellow all over it.
Because it's only my first day. You know, there's a hell of a difference in paint between exterior latex and automotive.
If it's in the shape of a trailer hitch, it may be me.
I just did a truck today. As a matter of fact, I did a truck that he ass ended a trailer hitch, stuck it right in the bumper of his brand spanking new Ford F-150. Yeah.
I've seen a couple bumpers shaped like a trailer. They're square.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the ones that don't lock it down.
Right.
Yeah. No, I've been doing this for so long, and I can't get anything new.
You know,
they can't give me some new jive. I've heard it all.
Well, the sad part about that is you kind of lose faith in humanity with all the people trying to BS you straight faced.
They are
straight out. You know, it's like, are people
absolutely
really,
right?
Are people really trying to see this
every
know?
Day?
And that sucks to think that there's
the
that
amount
many.
Of accidents is crazy. What I'm seeing now, it's like,
well, the problem that you run into is that, like I said, I've heard it 1,000 times or more per year. And I've been doing it for 42 years. And the lies that people look you right in the eyeball and tell you,
right.
I didn't need a post.
Well, that, got the yellow paint in the interest.
Okay.
Oh, I see you hit a wall. I hit a wall.
What? Let me dig this. Look at my. I'm gonna pull all this
concrete.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull all this
cinder block.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it right out of your car for you. Yeah.
No, I like what my daughter had was the lady claimed that my daughter backed up from the red light all the way back and hit her.
Oh.
instead of her rear end.
Rear end,
yeah,
it wasn't her fault. Yeah.
Actually, that happened to me right in front of Gowden Ford Door. It used to be on Sahara.
Oh yeah.
I was sitting still, and I was sitting at the intersection, and the lady in front of me was out in the intersection, and she was in a van. And she decided
she was
light
out too
changed.
Far.
Huh. No, she light changed and she said it going when the light turned yellow. She put it in reverse and backed
into
me.
Wow.
And I called Metro. Metro told me, I'm going to give you a citation for rearing her and shoving her in the intersection. And I said, two of these and three of those. I said, you're out of your goddamn mind. And she admitted that she backed into me. He comes up to me and goes, well, you're lucky she admitted that she backed into you. I said, you know, everything's not the way you
sometimes,
see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that way. You got to look at, you know, but you know, he didn't give me a ticket for it. He gave her a citation for it. But he was going to give me a ticket for rearing her and shoving her in the intersection.
Back to the guy that hit the wall and not the pole?
And not the wall, not the pole. Yeah, the concrete and the exterior latex and the stucco. Yeah, still stuck in your car. And that's the best part about it. It don't come out.
Right.
So it's buried in the metal.
Yeah.
So, but... I gotta say that we're supposed to have Kevin here today.
Okay.
Right? Because we were gonna switch you guys out. We're supposed to be over
here,
right?
Let me guess. It's Michael Miller's fault.
No, actually, Kevin's father had a deal, and Kevin is in the hospital with his dad tonight. So wish his family well.
Yes.
Kevin is in the hospital visiting his father tonight, who had surgery on his brain.
Oh,
okay. So wanted to bring everybody up to speed on that, because I think people had already heard that we were going to be switching out this week, and it was supposed to be your week.
It will happen.
Side.
It will happen.
Yes,
eventually here. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, you know.
Yeah. So that's why Kevin's not here tonight. That's why he's not going to be able to make it. So he said he'll be listening and watching though.
All right. Well. Appreciate it, Kevin. We
wishing him well.
Him and his
dad.
Him
and his family. Right.
Well, so.
Mm-hmm. That's where he is. But, it was a good racing weekend for local racing. Especially
I didn't make it. I didn't go. I couldn't make it.
All you had to do was turn the TV on.
But that's why I'm here. I'm here to hear all about it, because you guys will explain what
happened. After the rain out Saturday, everybody had to go Sunday and go racing on Sunday. And then after Sunday,
wait a minute.
Xfinity
now, the racing didn't start. It started on Thursday.
Was fun to watch.
Okay, so that's where the racing actually started. Was on Thursday.
Super late model race.
That
super late model race. That was good. Derek,
a lot of cars.
That was a full field of cars. It was good racing.
Some good names.
Derek Thorne. We were just talking earlier about that.
Good names in that race.
Kyle Busch was in there, Busch won the race. But Derek Thorne. We were just talking about that. We were just talking about Derek Thorne needed to reimburse Kyle Busch for some movement.
Each person don't.
Oh no, he should have gave him
some sugar back.
But I don't know. I wasn't there. But
he didn't.
So what happened?
Kyle Busch didn't qualify that well, and he came from sixth or eighth or something, seventh, eighth, somewhere on there.
You had
somewhere
to be like seventh,
eighth. Yeah, he was out there a bit, and he didn't qualify all that well, but he had a good car.
Right.
His car had a lot of drive off the corner, and that was pretty consistent throughout the whole race. It's just a matter of getting position, but a lot of guys could beat him in. Thorne, in his case, he was way better than Kyle was getting in.
Right.
But Kyle was way better than Thorne was on exit. I mean, Kyle put the pedal down, and that car would just drive forward and just leave him, just pull car lengths on him. But Thorne would beat him in the corner, and in order for Thorne to pass him, Thorne kind of gave Kyle a little bit of bumper to tail action and moved him a little bit, and then the yellow came out. That was good. I thought, this is going to work out good for Derek Thorne, because Derek Thorne at that point, he had moved him so far, he was in third.
Okay.
So where did he get to start? Behind Kyle Busch on the inside, right?
So it could be payback time.
Oh,
possibly.
You thought it was going to be.
I bet you everybody in those stands, except for one, and that was Gary Griffith, was expecting Derek Thorne to move him out of the way.
Oh, we do.
So, I bet everybody in those stands was waiting for it.
See?
So I wonder what...
Yep.
So now, that puts Derek Thorne in a tough position.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could become person by thousands and thousands of Kyle Busch fans, or you could just do what you feel is right.
And that's what I told Gary earlier. I said maybe it was a smart move on his part, not to punt Kyle Busch.
Right.
But I don't know. I think Kyle Busch should have been in the third lane myself.
Like I said, everybody in those stands, but one guy was expected him.
Yeah,
to
the back tires on Kyle Busch's car should have left two marks on Derek Thorne's hood.
So that's a tough call. What would you have done, Chuck, if you were in that position? Rewind to being in that seat and just kind of
I would have, if it was my position, I'd have gave Kyle the first one.
Right.
Okay. But when Derek got back by,
so
him, which he
more
did.
Than once.
Oh, yeah, which he did.
Okay.
Twice.
Okay.
Now, the only way for Kyle to move him the second time was to move him again. I mean, and unfortunately, are weirdly enough, that Kyle was at that point of the race, which was earlier in the race, he was better or as good as Derek getting in, and
now,
Derek was as good as him getting off.
Okay. Now that changes things, because sometimes, you know, a slow entry, you get a better exit, versus going in too hot, you push a little bit, you have to slow down just to make that exit.
Neither
two different driving styles. So okay, you know, so was one slowing down too much, and then that's why they're
no,
the
you want to move the guy and you want the lane, you're going to have to drive in deeper and use his bumper as your slowdown.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
And that's what he did. He didn't bend the quarter. He didn't.
Right.
He didn't jack. Derek.
So it was in the quarter, not in.
Yeah,
the
no,
okay,
he got him
flat.
In there. He got him
okay.
in the. He got him in the left rear just enough to move him up the racetrack and make Derek wiggle right in the center. And Kyle drove underneath him.
So is that considered rubbing his racing?
Yep.
No?
It was.
Yes.
Wow. But it was still Kyle Busch. So, you know, but yeah, it was.
But overall, Kyle didn't run away with it.
Uh-uh.
Like you look at the track times,
right.
The lap times, three of our guys were actually had better lap times than Kyle.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask Gary the same question.
Derek, Tyler Fabozzi.
Yeah, Tyler had a good running car.
Tight. And then, you know, that you would expect that in a race like that with the kind of super late model drivers we have here, and especially with Kyle Busch, you know, an elite, you know, top level team to
yeah.
have a super late model, you would expect it to be some good equipment. But Gary, what are you in that position now? You want to put yourself in that seat and your team, everybody's in there, and
I would have probably tracked him down and
gave him a little
while
and,
I was there.
Move him up. Not wrecked him, but moved him up.
Just repay the favor for
because
moving
thought
him
it
up.
Was intentional.
No.
Intentional?
Because why pay him? If it's not intentional, why pay somebody
But
back?
If Kyle was so much faster than him, why didn't he go around him?
Just drive around him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a difference in intentional and
well,
then payback.
I,
or
the way you
just
knowing,
not intentional.
But
knowing,
the way he said it was intentional, like he was trying to wreck him. He was trying to get by him.
Okay.
So.
But.
Okay.
But watching Kyle for so many years out here at the bull ring.
Well, that's where that brings up a different point. So.
And you know what? Let's throw he's a cup driver out the window. He's just another racer in the super
right.
late models, just like.
Yeah, he's just a regular
Tyler,
racer.
Tyler. For Bozy.
Except he got to park by himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, same thing.
He's not any better than if I got in a super late at that point.
He's just another driver
sure.
out there fielding, what was it, 26 cars or whatever it was.
27 or 28 or whatever it was, yeah.
Who cares? He's Kyle Busch. He's racing to win just like I'm racing
right.
to win.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would have probably caught him and probably moved him out of the way like Kyle moved him.
Kyle
out of
moved
the
you.
Now, did
yeah,
that happen
yeah.
to any other positions? Did it have to be first, second,
oh,
third?
Oh, shit, you can't watch
other,
them all.
You can't see them all.
You didn't notice
no,
anything
I,
else?
No,
not with just them guys,
there.
But I'm talking about any other combination.
No.
There's always people moving everybody so,
yeah.
right. on every position out there. So that's just
well,
the
so
it.
Then that should make be it's okay.
That
if, everybody,
don't make,
if everybody's moving everybody else.
It wasn't okay because he moved him.
Right.
It's he moved him the second time, and then
okay.
Derek did not do anything about it, and which was a little disappointing because Derek should have made a point of moving the same way he was moved
right.
the second time, not
now,
the first time.
Now, I'd like to say
– that was quarter,
know,
sec, both times.
Both
okay.
In the corner. It wasn't coming
like
off. It wasn't going
nine.
In. It was in the corner,
okay.
yeah.
center.
Center, okay.
But – like I said,
so,
everybody in those stands, except for one person, expected Thorne.
And Gary Griffin's getting called out.
That's right.
So, that, but everybody knows that's a one-groove track. So,
Gary,
if
don't get him upset because he might wreck the other side of his car.
Yes.
So, how, you know, if let's say your car is not 100%, but it's close. How else are you going to pass out there? I mean, if you're coming down to the, like,
it's what it takes to move to get around somebody at the bullring. There's no doubt. You got to bump or somebody.
Because, you know, the excuse is going to be, well, you know,
no,
my brakes, this or
you got to bump or somebody.
But
that's just part of it.
Thorn repaid the favor. Like you say, he would have probably been the most hated guy out there.
Right. And
yeah,
and we're
exactly what would have happened.
And word traveled fast, it would have been in a bigger circle.
But
than
then,
but then
right back to what I said, Kyle Busch, just another racer out there.
Yeah, he's not any better if Tyler Fabozzi or me or you were racing.
Jimmy Parker Jr., he was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take Kyle out and put Jimmy in there.
So
the same thing.
Okay,
he's just another racer that's racing.
Just move him.
So let's say Jimmy did, or whoever, Gafferini or whoever it could have been. Would your opinion be any different?
No, it would be the
same. You still need to reimburse him.
Yeah, it would be. You know, hey, you dirty me up, I'm going to dirty you.
And usually he's quiet when he's sitting behind that mic.
For
$10,000,
he's got some passion right there.
Yep, that's what I like to see.
When you're talking about this racing stuff and you've got some passion going on right there, that's passion right there on his part, because he's usually behind that mic not saying anything, but you know what, he's got something to say.
Well, you know why?
You got to give a guy back, or he'll do it to you every time.
And he's picturing himself in that car behind Kyle Busch, giving him his push. That's why he's got the
finger hanging out the window.
Exactly. Right. One head out the window, one on the street.
Look in the mirror here, Kyle.
No, it was a good race, but
Super late model race was great.
I'm surprised he didn't repay him back. Nobody knows what Thorne was thinking in that car, but
he was thinking if he did that, he would not be liked.
Well,
he'd have an even harder time getting where he's going.
Here you go.
Now,
Gary just said, or the most loved.
That's true. You probably got 50-50.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But then they had the ARCA West race.
I
only made it to halfway.
Now, is it because there's not as familiar names in that?
No. It was just boring. Oh, my God.
Not a lot of passing going on.
Nothing. Was the Spencer Clark car that won the event?
Sam Mayer.
He won the event with the.
And congratulations to that team.
And then Jesse Love, one of my old Bando drivers, he ran it second and chased him the whole time. I mean, right on that bumper
the whole time. That's
pretty cool. Then there was the little girl that ran third.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I don't know her name either,
but
she ran third.
Name,
but she was by herself. There was second were up there.
What's her name?
She was by herself. And
Lane
then,
Perkins?
No, she was fourth. The 99 car.
The 99 was third.
Gracie Trotter.
There it is. So she ended up. Gracie Trotter ran third, and then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 all ran together nose to tail, but they couldn't get away from each other. And then 11, 12, 13, and then one of the cars out there, which was what, the 0 or the 00? What was that car number that ran nearly last? Oh, the 88 car. The 88 car was lapped after like 3 laps and was a moving chicane for every lap of that event.
Oh, wow.
I mean, how many laps down did that 88 car go? 22 laps down?
No, I guess it depends on what the Canon or the ARCA Menard series rules are. If you know, after so many laps.
I could have took my superstar car out there and outran him.
Right. You know, and sometimes a series will have a car like that pull off just because it isn't
as far as when I left at the halfway point, because I was falling asleep in the grandstands, it was still making slow laps, man. And I mean, I think its fastest lap had to be in the 19s bomber speed,
you know. And you got to look at it a couple different ways. He pays the same fees that they do to race, so do you you know, but at
yeah,
the same time,
but when you're
a,
when you're a when you're a, in the way, you're in the way.
Right. now let's say maybe
she
Or maybe she isn't always, you know, I guess you have to look at the...
Is it a she?
You know, they were fielding...
Oh, there it is, see? It's a she.
They were fielding like 4 or 5 girls in that division.
Yeah. There was some, and there were some tiny little girls, too. All of them. It was only, I think the one girl was like normal dude size, but all the rest of them were like tiny little girls.
I know one was that one that...
Holly Holland?
Yeah, Holly Holland that Tom went to help on that Wednesday night or...
No,
TJ.
TJ Clark.
I mean, that's what I meant. TJ. What did I say?
Tom.
Well, Thomas is his name, so TJ, okay.
TJ brought one of the legend cars out for her to get some track time.
Right. But there was a lot of little girls out there. There was no doubt about that. They were small. There was a couple of little guys too. But I mean,
right.
You know, it was.
But you know, that's the series that a lot of them want to be into. Make you know, have a stepping stone into.
I think it's a new movement.
Career. Yeah.
It's a new movement with Haley Deegan.
Yeah.
You know, moving up, getting more popular. I think where we're having problems getting cars out to their track and getting people into, the girls are just taking advantage of it. Like, if the guys aren't going to do it,
well, a lot of them have.
Daddy built me a car.
But a lot of them have these programs that are.
Oh, they're rentals.
You know,
yeah.
Most of them are probably rentals.
But
they're trying to get their name out there, just like that Holly Holland. She's come from dirt, sprint car racing.
Right.
But, trying to break into the asphalt, world and move up. And they want to move up in the
It's already expensive to run that from what I've been told from a few people that are around, how much money they're spending on these ARCA West cars, which are the old K&N cars, I guess. The Menards cars. But, I mean, the rental on the things is huge. I mean, gosh, damn, you better have whole lot more money than that to get someplace.
Right.
But, I mean, how do you take a guy like Derek Thorne and he's still stuck where he is? He's stuck where he is because you don't have enough money to get bigger.
There's a huge gap between, let's say, and let me tell you that.
But I mean, why isn't he trying to run a West car?
Right. Well, because like you were saying,
or an East car.
The expense is huge, so there's a gap between
super late models and everything else.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, everything else above you.
That's a tough position to be in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Trucks ain't expensive.
That's right.
Trucks. That's going to be just under. Super lates or just under NASCAR, the cup cars, NASCAR, Xfinity cars. Yeah, truck series race.
You know, there's
the late model truck series race.
Oh, there you go. That's the way to go. So.
That's right.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh.
touring late model truck series.
Yeah. But yeah, with a lot of the girls, these women, girls, they're
taking advantage of the open opportunity.
Right. Well, If the opportunity's there, why wouldn't you?
You go out and try it. If you do good, you pull some good lap times, then, just like with any of our kids, go and try it, see how good you are. If you're good, we'll invest some money. If you're not any good, we're going home and we're trying something else.
Yeah, I just had a guy come over to my house and wanted to buy one of my Bandos on Thursday, and he goes, I got this kid in the car, does the whole thing. So last Bando I got for sale, right? And he goes, come on, he comes over to the house and tell me he's been coming for 2 weeks. Shows up with this, I'll be back on Saturday. Nah, you ain't coming back on Saturday. I told the wife when he walked out of the door, you're going to come buy my car on Saturday. I don't have a trailer. Throw it in the back of your pickup truck.
Right. That's the beauty of a Bando, right?
That's it. I'll throw it in the back of the truck right now for you. He didn't come back. Called me on Sunday. I'm not going to be able to buy the car. It's just too much for my kid to be racing in. It's a Bando, but okay.
There's no reason.
So I've got a Bando for sale. I have a Bando for sale, people. Still have one for sale.
Cool.
So,
does the guy know racing costs money?
Yeah, I don't think he was expecting to. Yeah, no, I don't know. So I know my kid's back in Wisconsin again. So he's back there.
Cool.
They're running these the mods. They're getting the new mod stuff going. They're in Gen 4 mod now.
Wow.
Which is a good thing. Him and Chris Bray are back there. And for the new cars that Chris Bray is doing, they're back there. They'll be back there for the whole week. They're coming back down here with, I guess, two or three new cars down here to bring out and not to bring the car out, but to bring chassis out here and clips and pieces like that for these new cars, modifiers.
What kind of new differences are we going to see on these chassis? I mean, what are some of the changes? I mean, you can only do so much to a chassis within a certain set of rules. What kind of changes are you thinking we're going
to
see?
You know what? I'm going to have to wait until I actually look at the new clips.
I was just curious if you already knew.
Unfortunately, I haven't. My son and those guys really haven't told me much about what they're doing. I know there's a lot of new pickup points that are on the car, and the way the bars are in the car, and the way it mounts to the chassis. They're made to where they'll fit in more than one chassis now. So you could have a left-hander, or you could have all these other chassis out there that are and some of your homemade stuff where they're not going to have to move a whole lot of bars to put a new state-of-the-art front clip under these cars. And that's why they're in Gen 4 with these cars and these clips now, because they are now making it to where the new modifieds now are going to be able to have very little changes to your existing chassis to put one of these clips under it. I mean, we're talking about very small stuff like moving a bar here and a bar there. But the few things that I do know about the chassis and the clip on the car they have to weigh the same as a stock clip frame. They have to have the same dimension. They have to have the same
stock.
Yeah. So the guys that still have the stock ones are not being outperformed by this new chassis, the new fabricated one. But there's, I guess there's more things that you can do to the new ones. A little more adjustability in the car. But as far as putting the new clips underneath the modifieds now, they're going to be a lot easier for everyone to do. And and obviously Chris Bray and at Phil's Fabrication, those guys are, and my son Joe, they're back there working with the Pathfinder people to get this thing to where it is cost effective for people to do. Should you wreck one, and you don't have to worry about trying to find a front clip off of a 1922.
And that's the reason for this change is because these clips are harder and harder to get nowadays. You can't.
There's no different than a bomber.
Yeah, it's like going to the junkyard nowadays. You don't see the same assortment that you used to, and you can't just go out and get a geometric frame.
You can't just go pick one up anymore. And the bomber guys and you guys all in bomber classes and bomber nation should all know that they're getting harder and harder and harder to find.
Those programs
start doing something.
And those programs a few years back where the junk car,
clunkers.
Jalopies.
Where they paid you to junk your car, the cash for clunkers.
United, Nissan, and Ford, and all the people were doing that.
Because they were getting government incentives to junk your old car. I mean, come on.
Get them off the road because of the environment.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're seeing a trickle effect from some of that. You can't get the chassis.
You can't get them anymore. Even you go to pick apart now, and most of the stuff today is, more current. There's a few old jalopies still sitting around out there, but there is there's just more and more new modern cars that people are picking the parts off of so they can keep their 95 and 2005,
Honda Civic
and Chevy Impala are still moving, So but that's the reason they've gone to this fabricated.
I'm interested to see what they bring back, and I'll see one eventually.
Well, they'll be there. They'll be there with these. They'll have the new stuff out there on display, or at least the car will be able. You can walk up to some of the cars and see them. So that's going to be a positive note for a lot of guys to walk up and go look. All these cars, they've already had one or two cars on track running already. Yeah. But those were in Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3 styles, where they didn't like the way they came out and they cut them off and they started over and built a new one. But they're doing that, through Pathfinder chassis. Okay. And for Chris Bray and the Phil's Fabrication people, and that whole group is actually working with Pathfinder race cars and race car chassis. Those guys, they're doing that for their, it's Chris Bray's stuff. Everybody knows that the modifieds out here are Chris Bray's program. He's the one that brought the mods back, and he's the one that brought them forward, and he's the one that, got the cars back on track. So I think everybody knows that. I don't think there's anybody out there that's a surprise to, when you could no longer get these pieces that they wanted to have anymore, they had to find someone to help work with them and build the chassis and the front clips that everybody needs. The back half of the car is just a race car.
Right.
It's the front half that made, those a difference. So, through the program with Pathfinder chassis, they've worked together, as a team thing to make this, to make these new front clips, worth purchasing, and for these guys to be able to change their old mods out and make them just as current as any other car.
Are there currently, that you know of, these Pathfinder clips, not just here locally, but already running in an operation back in east in
they're back in the Midwest because they're in Wisconsin. Okay. So they're going to have their cars out there, and they're going to have their house
already
cars
running,
and they're going to have
as they are.
Yeah, so, this same Gen 4 clip that they're doing now is going to be able to work with the guys that are back there who have you know, older cars, older chassis that they're not using anymore, that they can bring up to date back there.
Right.
So it's going to work all over the place.
And it's probably a great idea right now, because I don't know, at some point IMCA or some other bigger sanctioning body is going to have to adapt to that, because
they are.
There is going to be a demand, because you can't get the older chassis. They won't fit in their rules anymore, but that would be interesting that they can.
Without a doubt. There's no doubt about it. I mean, everybody's going to run out of these parts.
Yeah.
No, they're just
right.
It's just not going to happen. So all these different, even I'm sure that somewhere down the road, the dirt people are going to have the same thing. They're going to have to go to some sort of a fabricated front clip,
right,
just like the dirt late model cars are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not stock front clip cars.
Right.
They're all tubular cars. They're super late models on dirt. You know, they just have them raised here and moved there. So the dirt late model cars are going to do the same thing. The IMCA dirt cars are going to have to go to, you know, a full front clip car, and they're
right.
going to have to be able to make it fit a template, and it's going to have to fit
right.
something. They're going to have to
in
make it where there's no advantage or disadvantage. But
right.
as soon as a guy fences a car and he needs a front clip on one,
right.
he's not going to put a stock front clip back under the car.
Right.
He's going to go to a new front clip.
Right.
Well, that's where we're going to, or not we, I shouldn't
yeah.
include myself in that
but,
conversation
but
at all, but that's where Joseph,
that's
where my son
yeah.
and Chris Bray, that's what they went back
yeah.
to go do.
And,
they
and
went
you
to
know,
go work with us.
And
so.
That's not only chassis. I mean, with them, it's probably just chassis, but I noticed some, you know, other divisions going with the lower control arms now that are being harder and harder to find. As
yeah.
long as they fit the same, you know, they're a fabricated lower control arm in a modified or some other.
As long as they fit the dimensions.
The same dimensions, weight, and everything's identical, and that's going to be going that direction too. I'm assuming at some point.
If you look at some of the racing magazines that are out there today, they already have them.
Yes.
The difference is that they're not on bushings; they're
right.
on Hinds now, and
right.
they're those. So they are the lower arms are out there.
Yeah.
It all comes down to the racetrack. In which you're racing, we're going to stick by the stock
right.
only GM lower control arm or the Ford lower arm.
Right, and that's what I was talking about.
And
they have fabricated them, not with the Heim ends, but the same style as the stock. It's just,
that'd be pretty hard to stamp out
yeah.
a stock one without GM coming along and saying
well,
that's our
stamped.
Patent.
No, it's not stamped. It's tubed.
But
it's a tube. But the mounting has to be the stock
oh, yeah.
type mounting, stock bushings and things like that.
That's
that,
yeah.
that part of it is it has to remain stock, but the actual control arm is a
yeah.
tubular control arm, lower. You know,
yeah, they'd have. Yeah, they're out there. Those
yeah.
arms are out
yeah.
there. If you look
so,
at some of the motorsports magazines out there, that
and I'm assuming
that
at some point, I don't know, if this Pathfinder with these modifiers are going that direction.
Well,
that,
I don't know if they're
going
to go that way. That's something that you'd have to probably ask. It's probably something you'd have to ask and talk to Chris Bray
right.
about and bring him in here or something, and he'd probably be able to give you more information like
right.
that on, because I'm not privy to all the information that they
right.
get. I only know what I know and,
right.
you know, what
but
my,
cool.
my son and I discuss
see,
about
you know,
our car.
Right. Well, and there's changes, you know, that has to happen. You know, you got to move along with technology. A lot
mm-hmm.
of times the racing industry is slow to adapt,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at some point it has to
mm-hmm.
move
oh,
it's, forward.
You know, my
so.
Car, the car I just bought from my grandson, it's a Chevelle front clip. As soon as this thing gets even the slightest little bit of damage to it, it's coming out and
yep.
going to get a, and
go.
It'll get a new front
right.
clip put underneath the car.
Cool.
And it's the same with the car that Kevin Terrell's old mod mm-hmm. that I just bought from Kevin, that Joseph's going to be driving. That's a left-hander chassis. And as soon as something happens to that front clip, it will
right.
automatically get a clip
right.
put underneath the car, and it'll get the new Pathfinder clip
cool.
put underneath that car. If it doesn't get done before,
right,
you know what I mean,
right.
because you know that's something that my son has designed or helped design or
right.
helped
so
work with.
Want
so he
yeah.
wants that underneath his
right.
car, and I know he does. And but you still have to buy it. You still have to pay for it. You
oh
know?
Yeah,
it doesn't come for free.
No,
you
exactly.
know. So
if anything, it might not be any cheaper than you could have. You've got an old metric chassis or, you know, front.
But who's going to want to put a metric chassis
yeah.
underneath a modern car?
Right. Right. Exactly.
No one.
Yeah.
You know, once you ruin your bone stock chassis, you're not going to want that. So you go, you get your ass over
right.
there to Phil's shop. You get it on, you know, Chris's shop, and you get it on the jig over there
right.
and you get the new clip stuck underneath
right.
the car, and you get your car back. You know, and now you don't have a 15-year-old car anymore. Now you have the tubing maybe
right.
from where you sit back, maybe 15 years old, but your front end is going to be.
Now you got a new.
Now you got yourself
yeah,
a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have yourself a new piece, and you know, and how the design of the car is built, and how the
right.
you know, where the
cool.
cross members, how high it's up, and where it sits, and all those little things that
right.
they do to these cars that I only know about because I have had so many cars.
Right.
But I mean, you have to be able to do things to cars that and get the cars sealed off with like a cup car. You got to have it sitting on the ground. I mean, without rubbing, you got to have it close to the ground. You can get it without rubbing. So and that's what it comes down to.
No, that's good. It's good to see that the changes happening, you know, especially locally at our track here.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chris Bray and Joseph and Tim Richter have worked together with this program, and they've had to do that. You know, they've had to go there because there is no pieces out there. There's very few pieces that you can get for a car anymore, and you can see what's happening to the class now. Chris Bray shows up with, you know, six or eight cars, and then he's got 10 cars, and then he's got 12 cars.
Right.
Now there's 15 or 16 cars,
right.
And now there's going to be a 20-plus field of race cars out there, all because they went to the 602 motor.
Right.
They decided they were going to make this more cost-effective to race,
right.
Which is a great thing for me, a great thing for all of us, you know,
exactly.
Working-class folks that can afford a mod. Mm-hmm. So you turn around and you take that and you make that a productive class. Well, now all of a sudden you got a full field of cars.
Right.
Well, why isn't every other class like that?
Right.
You know, let's take all the super lates that we have and stick them all on a crate engine. You know, and an LS engine or something, and put a.
But that's kind of what they've done with the Prolate model division is to kind of give you the option to do that, and maybe that's the same thing that they did with the modified. Just kind of, hey, let's do this and see what the interest is. How many are we going to see? How many is it going to look like it's going to grow? And maybe that's part of it. Obviously, is to get, you know, they got in tune with some of these other local tracks that are on board with the Prolate model rules. So maybe you'll see that. The change over to that program.
Well, you can, if you look on pretty much any classified section of any racing program, you're going to see those 377 big engine, those big auger motors are all for sale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
a lot of them have the option now of a 602 rule. Some of them have a 604 rule, but a 602 rule with, you know, weight, you know, allowances and other, you know, and if you run a 377 or something, maybe you have a weight penalty. So you have some differences to kind of help keep that the spirit of racing competitive.
Well, for, and I've been told so far, and I haven't really looked into it, and I haven't even talked to Tim Richter or anybody about it, but I've been told that you can't bring us anything other than a 602 to our racetrack and run it. You know, so that way
there's
no
division. Yeah, that is a 602 division.
That's a 602.
Period.
The only weight penalty that I know of out there that's right now that's out there is a 9-inch versus a quick change.
Okay, so they do have.
So there's a penalty for that. If you're going to have a quick change under it, you're going to you have to put on 25 or 50 pounds or something.
Right.
And but your gear ratio has to be within 6 points of what a 9-inch guy can get, because a quick change gear, you can get so many selections.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Small selections. Yeah. Well, you can only get to be within 4 or 6 points of the 9-inch guy.
Well,
so that there's no advantage again. And
that's
this is something that Chris Bray and Tim Richter have sat down and discussed and say, okay, we're going to allow this, but this is your maximum you can go play with. Because a 9-inch guy gets what, you know, I mean, just in my super stock world, I know, you know, you got a, you know, a 600, a 614,
exactly.
You know, 620, 620 a 630, you know, and you go up in these big numbers.
Right.
Well, we can get a 16.
Right. When you throw that 9-inch in, you say, I needed
200
exactly.
RPM. Well, now you can't have it because the guys that are still running a 9-inch rear end can't get that number.
Right.
It's impossible. But a quick change guy can, so they came up with this limit on what you can run for a rear gear.
Right.
So and once you've put your rear gear number in there, from matter of fact, Joseph just had to order me some because I have a quick change underneath Ethan's car. Mm-hmm. I have to put the nuts for the back of the quick change have to have a hole in it. So once they verify your gear, they're going to seal it.
They'll seal it. Okay.
So Tim Richter will put a seal on the thing, and it'll be sealed, and they won't have to do a gear change, and I won't have to pull anything out of the rear end ever again.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll take that. But now Joe's car, with the one we just bought from Kevin, that's got a 9-inch on it. So there's going to be no advantage for whether Ethan's in a quick change or Joe's in a 9-inch. There's going to be no advantage there. So it's going to be a good modified class. So, you know, people around the country, they need to know that, you know, that this is going to be a good competitive class. And then and I'm sure that other promoters someplace back in the Midwest, back in the East Coast, back in the South, someplace, they're going to see this happening, and they're going to go the same direction. They're going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it in California.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's there in Cali, so it's going to be a good it's going to be a good series, and I'm glad that I got rid of my super stock car and got Ethan a mod. So okay. It'll be fun, and we'll see if we can't go and have a little bit of good time.
A lot of tracks when they start going to this. In this direction, do you see like the old stock car racing starting to go away, like the super stocks, you know, the old Camaros and the old, you know, Ford Torinos and, you know,
I don't,
because they're getting more scarce too, you know,
they are.
And guys like yourself that are moving into these divisions with that are spec, you know, a 602 division, you're going to start fading the, you know, the other division.
I don't see that happening because you're giving these cars away. I mean, really you are, you're not really selling them for any major profit. You're giving these cars away to these guys that can afford to have that car, that coming from the bombers to a super stock car or whatever they want to call them,
you know,
street stocks in Northern California, a pure stock in another class, but they're all the same Camaro.
Right. Well, and unfortunately, like locally, the super stock division
for us locally,
hasn't grown or changed. I mean, years ago, that used to be the premier division.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was a shit.
Me,
oh, no
they
doubt.
They had, you know, the competition was there. The you know, the cars were there. But, you know, over time, you know, they kind of lost their car counts. But, you know, and a lot of those cars you see go away. And you once in a while, you'll see one come back. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that 10 years ago, you know. But you don't see those anymore. They ended up going to California or some other tracks.
I think a lot of those cars are just sitting in the backyards.
Yeah.
They're sitting in guys' shops and garages. They're not, they haven't gone anywhere.
Why?
They
did. They have a 602 rule.
Who? Not our superstock class
do.
Does not.
Yeah.
Our,
yeah.
No, they do not.
Yes, they do, don't they?
No.
I ran a
358.
What did Phil used to run in his? He's to run a 602.
Oh, you can run one.
Yeah.
But if you want to run your 602 against my non-602 motor.
Yeah, but that rule is a 10-to-1,
flat tap it,
450 lift rule. That's been around since,
mm-hmm.
since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You can only get so much out of that legally.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay.
Right?
You go ahead and believe that.
Legally.
You can believe that. Yeah.
Well, I mean that's –
You know, I mean, I spent a group of money trying to chase down the 29 car, and I couldn't catch his ass. So, I had two motors set right straight back, and then I had four different camshafts and med work done, and I still couldn't catch his ass. So,
and, you know,
you know, but
you have a Vortec.
You're not gonna,
you have a four barrel.
I put Vortec on one of my motors.
You're not allowed to do that.
Yes, you are.
Are you really?
Yes, you are.
I didn't think you were.
Yeah, I had one engine that was conventional, and one was a Vortec.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
In the past, you couldn't. The rule actually said no Vortec heads, period.
Yeah. Oh, you had to give up 25 pounds, but hell.
Oh,
who didn't?
Okay, so they
who
changed
didn't?
It. I haven't kept up over the years.
I didn't mind.
So they, yeah.
I was already 25 over the big old ass Camaro anyway.
I would have given up 25 pounds
for Vortec
heads.
Yeah. I had one engine that had a Vortec in it. I had one engine that had Vortec in it, and I had one engine that didn't.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know they allowed that.
Yeah.
That's what
they got to do. They got to go to they got to do something about all the classes here in Vegas, because look at where the super late models went. You know, you're 8 or 10 cars now. You used to have a full field of them. Why don't you have a full field of them anymore? Because they're too damn expensive to run.
Yeah, and
bombers didn't. Bombers, look how big the field used to be for them.
Yeah.
Now look at them.
Right.
It became too rough of a class.
Right. No, and that's true. You know, and to me, and I haven't been in that division, you know, like full time or anything. I've had a couple races that we've done here and there, but it costs, you know, they've allowed a lot more. They become a street stock type of a class instead of a factory stock type of a class.
Yeah.
You know, and that
they're running the same lap times we were back when our Camaros were considered Charger cars. If
right.
you remember those,
mm-hmm. yeah.
we had Charger cars. So they're running the same lap times that old Charger cars were. So now our Charger cars have become super stock cars because they give us headers, they gave us aluminum intake
exactly.
manifold, they give us 500 CFM two barrels.
Yep.
You know, we mm-hmm. you know, we got a better tire, and we're a tubular upper control arms. We're able to do more with the suspension yeah. that way, and run the external shocks and stuff like that. So
right.
it became a limited late model class,
correct.
Where the bombers now have become
The street stock.
The street stock. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're no longer a bomber.
A limited super late model class.
Yeah.
Some of those motors, man, sound better than the ones I used to have in my
that's where they ran into a problem. They allowed the factory stock bomber cars or whatever they want to call them. They let them have any motor you wanted to, but you had to run it on one wheel. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't make any sense. I mean, hell, the bomber car Timmy Masterang had, the camshaft was taller than you are,
right?
You know, I mean, it's just that's the way it was, and that's the way it is.
Well,
but,
you know, it's
but they're allowing
that's a
that.
Pretty short camshaft.
Yeah.
You're talking about Michael.
here's the funny thing: some of them might have a cam lift rule or something, but they don't limit the lifter rule. I mean, the rocker arm. You could have a small camshaft, but a long, you know, lift rocker arm.
And that's all duration and staging duration and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
All.
So there's a lot of things going on there that you could get away with, but. I don't know.
But you had to have but you got to be able to put a limit on these cars. If you could put a limit on them, yeah, okay, they're driving off of one wheel. They got to weigh, you know, 40 million pounds. So what if they all have to weigh 40 million pounds and drive off of one wheel? But you could do anything you want to the motor so long as it makes 14 inches of vacuum. What? Okay.
Well, yeah, you can cheat vacuum. Yeah.
Turn the idle way the fuck down. It'll make all kind of vacuum, you know. So it's but I mean, as I said, you have to do it at a certain RPM. You have to make 14 inches of vacuum, but you can run any engine, any camshaft, right. Any piston. Well, now you have to have a flat top piston. And then you had to only can have a 2-eyebrow piston, and they went to a 4-eyebrow piston or a 4-eyebrow, and then you went to a 2 or bat one
right.
Or the other. Because I didn't keep up with what their rules were too much because I depended on Timmy Masterang telling me what the
rules. Don't feel bad. Nobody else keeps up on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're just gonna do whatever we want.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then the race, and then it started becoming too rough. I mean, everybody
right.
started just beating the shit out of each other, and then you get teams blocking for other teams, and you're kind of ruining it for everybody. So, then everybody just started, and you can notice. They started getting away from that stuff, and then the racetrack went to that breakout rule, that 20-second breakout rule.
I'd like now not every race, but I like that breakout race once in a while. That's just my opinion.
As a fan, it was great.
Well, exactly, and that's what I'm talking about. As a fan, now as a racer, you're out there to race as quick as you can, as you know,
yeah.
And be competitive. But anyways. But yeah, they brought, you know.
Yeah, the 20-second breakout rule, you know, and not too many people enjoyed that because
it
really did trash your cars.
It did cause a lot of wrecks.
But the person who always ran 8th or 9th or 10th had as good of an opportunity to win
exactly.
as somebody who was running always up front. So
exactly.
Yeah, it was all right. So.
But at the same time, you know, I as a racer, I know why you wouldn't want that because it did tear up. Yeah.
And I see Aaron McMoran online right here on my Facebook. I don't know if he's over there on yours, but he's over here on mine. He went out and ran his super late model race this past late model race.
Cool. Okay.
He went out and ran his car in that. And I guess they were having, from what Kevin told me, they were having some sort of a brake issue with the right front was locked up or wasn't working well. And it was having a brake issue on the car. But I'm sure Aaron's on there and he'll tell me exactly what it was because I can read whatever he says here. But, I know that he had some sort of an issue with his car. Otherwise, he'd have probably done a lot better than.
But you know,
he
it's good to
showed.
See him out. You know, it's been a long time since we've seen Aaron on the track, especially in a super late model.
That's
cool to see.
From what I heard somewhere on the radio, somewhere or somebody telling me or something that he hadn't been in a super late or that type of car in like 10 years.
Oh
or
yeah,
something.
I mean he's
so
been in modifieds, and he actually raced one of our trucks, one
mm-hmm.
the late model truck
down in Havasu.
And then of course modifieds has been his forte for years.
Right.
So it's cool. It's cool to see him in.
Yeah. So he went out there and ran. He went out there to do the best he could. I know they were having an issue with the car, and they were like really there was 10 people underneath that car. Kevin came over to me and said, hey, can you come over and give me a help? And I walked over there to go help him out because Kevin was looking for some help to try to get Aaron's
right.
car done. So Kevin went and found me and bring me over there. And I showed up over and there was like
already too many feet.
Well, there was
underneath.
There was too many chiefs in that car,
right.
Not enough engines just doing
right.
the simple work. And so I just kind of stood back and I
right.
was like, I went over to Kevin later.
Just
I said, hey, bud, there was way too many chiefs and not
yeah.
enough Indians working on that car. So I just kind of stepped back. But
right.
Kevin came up to me and said, I need your help, man.
Kevin over here says right front was glowing, left front was not.
Yeah, he says, that's what Kevin told me. He said the right front was just the rotor was just on fire
too
and
much.
The left front was absolutely dull.
Just and he's saying not enough power.
No.
Yeah, that I wouldn't know about. He didn't mention anything to me about the power. Kevin didn't mention anything to me about the power. He was just telling me that. But if the right front brake is locked up, that's going to make a significant problem with some horsepower right off the bat.
Huge
drag on. Yeah, if you're dragging the right front the whole way around, you might as well just drive with your brakes on.
Right.
You know, so it's if you're doing that, you're going to feel like you don't have enough power no matter what you do. You know, so.
Aaron was driving with the brakes on to make it fair to everybody else.
To make it fair, yeah. He was just going to run right by Thorn. Yeah.
Did anybody tell Aaron, hey, this ain't the bomber?
Hey,
come on.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, when you get to Kyle, when you catch Kyle, give him a little rub, will you?
There you go, right?
Yeah. Him and Kyle's buddy, Kyle's partner there, Steve Smith or whatever his name was there in the 51. The 51 CS car, whatever name is, because Kyle bring out his car plus
he had two other ones.
Well, he had one other one. He's got a guy that races for him. I want to say his name. I may have been Steve Smith, maybe, but
on a regular basis.
Yeah, but he runs. Yeah, I think he drives the hauler for Kyle's cars, and he also drives the car. And I think if Kyle wipes his car out, he just jumps in the other
backup,
one.
Right.
Yeah, it's his other car. So cool. I mean, it's a good thing, but. If Aaron could have caught Kyle without the brake problem, he would have just probably given him some love, moved him.
And you know what? Any one of us, for a small price, we could have made a huge name for ourselves during that race.
Yeah.
You just had to give Kyle a big, huge push.
You just
push.
Needed to put a second engine under the hood.
Could you imagine if you pushed him into the wall?
Yeah.
You'd be real famous.
You'd have been famous all right. Yeah. No, I'm all right with that. But Aaron went out and did a good job with his car as best he could. You know, hurried to get the car done. And I'm sure that, what was his name, Houston Simonette, was that his name? He was driving for him. I saw Houston. I haven't seen him in, he probably didn't remember what I looked like, although I am kind of unique.
You didn't have your
I didn't have a coveralls on. No, I didn't.
Nobody knew who you were.
That's what the problem was. I didn't have a coveralls on. But it was not cool for Houston to give him a chance to get a ride in the car. And Houston had a big old boot on his foot, so I'm not sure if that was why. But
right.
Aaron did the best he could with that.
Cool.
So that was cool to see. And Kevin was right there in there digging in, trying to get something accomplished over there with that car and help everybody get in. So there was a few other people that were running around over there trying to help. But, I think AJ was there working on the car with them and, so there was a few people.
They'll
down
there
cool.
down, I'm sure.
Everybody was underneath the cars doing something somewhere.
Right.
There was a lot of people that were underneath that car doing something. So that was cool. That was cool for them all to jump in there and help Aaron.
Cool. Well, we'll see whatever his next race is. We don't know, but maybe Aaron can let us
know. You never know. I'm sure they'll probably put something together with that super late, power underneath the thing, fix the problems. It was they were really scrambling at the last minute to try to even get the car onto the racetrack. I don't even remember if they even made it for qualifying or not. I'm sure that Kevin will probably tell you if they even made it for qualifying. I don't even know if they did or didn't.
Oh.
I think they might have picked up the back of the field.
Didn't they do a B main on that?
No, there wasn't one.
No B main? Okay.
No, they started everybody.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
Both races? No.
Yeah, well, it was only 16 of the ARCA cars there.
Oh,
so,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was only 16 of those.
And speaking of that ARCA, that kid that won, what's his name? Sam?
Sam Mayer.
He's only 16 years old.
Yeah.
The kids got big old balls on them when they're 16 years old, man.
He drove the shit out of that car.
I'm almost 63. I ain't going that fast.
Right.
Well, George Anhill was interviewing him
and
asked him, okay, how old are you? He said, I'll be 17 this summer.
This summer.
Yeah.
He just turned.
Yep.
He's just now rounded the 16 corner. Yeah.
Do you have your driver's license? Sometimes that's a good question.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so it was fun, but it was good racing. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the racing out there for the most part. I got to watch a couple of my Bando boys run them ARCA cars, so that was fun to watch.
That's really cool.
I like the babies all my Bando babies that have been out there. I like to watch and see what they're doing when they get up running something else. It's always fun to watch.
How about being on a Thursday night? Did that change any of the aura at all? Anything? Just another night of racing? Or
I made those old people tired.
Like,
tired
I gotta be in bed by 9. What time did it finish, I guess?
I don't know, because I left on ARCA race at 75 and it was 10 minutes to 9.
You started yawning halfway through or less than halfway through?
I was dozing off already in the grandstand because first it was boring. And second, it was 9 o'clock of my bedtime. So,
did you stay for the whole thing, Gary?
Yeah, and all the young people out there that are listening, they're all laughing, going, "Ah ha ha!" I used to laugh at my dad when he was
right.
Yeah, I used to laugh at my dad at like 9 o'clock, you're going to bed. Yeah, wait till you get to be 63. Your ass is going to be in bed by 9 o'clock.
Exactly. It won't be too much longer from now. You'll be like, yeah, I knew what Chuck was talking about.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, right now it's midnight up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Then about 30, it's going to be 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock maybe if you really push it hard, you know.
Exactly.
And then and when you hit your 50s and 60s, it's going to be like, yeah, trust me, 9 o'clock is staying up late.
Well, let me tell you, lately it's at 9:30, I could be sleeping. I mean, he's tried to call me before, like, he's probably pissed off. I'm already in bed sometimes, man. I can't help it. I wanted to
sleep.
All
rolled
up.
My
body
It's not just a, oh, well, Mike didn't answer.
It ain't. Mike's asleep.
That,
oh, no.
Got his one hand in his underwear.
That MF, no.
Huh? So I'm being told here on this that 27 cars showed up for the super race, they only started 24.
So would the
Aaron McMoran finished fourth in the B main.
So they did have a B main.
If they had a B main, and somebody's telling me that, I missed a B main.
Now, I didn't see no B main.
I didn't see no B main.
But my question is why would they send home three cars?
I didn't think they did. I thought they started everybody.
Yeah, interesting.
Because I had heard through the pits that Kyle Busch said, "Why are you going to send three cars home?"
Right.
And I had heard that through the pits.
Well, if they ran a B main event, Aaron's right here watching. He needs to tell me he ran a B main event, because if he ran a B main event and he finished fourth at a B main event, that would be news to me, man, because saw a B main, never heard a B main go. I never heard anything on anything racing other than qualifying and the races.
Yeah, I wonder, and again, if they did have a B main, how many did they start in the A main? 4 or 2?
Well, you said they had 27 cars. They started 24.
Yeah.
And he finished fourth. How would that be possible? That'd only be 3 cars.
I don't know.
Right.
I'm just reading what it says.
3 cars in a B feature, right?
Well,
and Aaron finished fourth.
But my question is, if there was 27.
Okay, wait. Okay. Matt's got it right here.
Look
Matt's
at Matt.
Got something
Matt's
right
on it.
Okay, so Super Late Model did have a B feature, and they had 7 cars. Spilotro blew up. I knew that.
Okay.
I knew he blew a motor up. So, but it does say there was 7, and Aaron finished 4th. So, somebody's right.
So, the top 4.
Don't say that very loud. That was Gary. Don't say that.
So somebody is right.
Went home.
Because I never heard a B main event be announced or go off, or I would have went up and watched it. So you guys
were in the pits too.
I was in the pits.
That's probably what happened.
Me too. I was in the pit area, but Charlie Pike, Aaron McMoran, Warren Nipper, Stan Mullis, Dean Thompson, person Elliot Lance, and Spilotro ran in the B feature.
Huh.
I did not know they had a B feature, so I guess I have to apologize. But Aaron finished 4th minute because I never heard a B feature.
Interesting.
I never heard one get announced, and I didn't even hear one race. So how many laps did they run, like 3? Oh, they ran a 20-lap feature.
Wow. You guys missed 20 laps somewhere.
They did 20 laps, and you and me never saw it?
I had never seen it.
I didn't hear it or see it.
I sat up there and was freezing my ass off, but I didn't
there either.
So,
like me, I wasn't there.
So Matt Esposito comes up with it right there in front of me, man. I'm like, thank you. I never saw it, never heard about it. So I guess my bad. So – But I guess you wouldn't want to send 3 cars home if there was 7 cars left over.
Right.
That would make more sense.
Yeah, that would make sense.
If there was 7, you didn't want to start 7. But in the SRL race, they did. When the SRL was here at the end of the year last year, they started them all, and there was way more than 24 cars.
Because at one point, the most they would start that I remember is 26 at that track years ago. And that's the most they would start. And obviously, it probably depends on the promoter who's running the track.
Sure, go ahead. Gary watches his race monitor. That's all I got.
Oh, yeah. He's killing himself on that. So Matt had the information we needed right in front of him.
So you guys missed the whole race, so hey.
Yeah, we did. We missed the whole damn race.
I watched the main events.
I did, too. I went up in the main grandstand for that.
Yes.
Well, so we only got 90 seconds left. When's their opening night out here at Vegas?
We open up on March 7th.
March 7th, which is coming up.
The 6th and 7th will be testing, and the Bandos will run on the 6th and the 7th, and then it's open practice on Friday night.
Okay.
And then on Saturday night, we are opening day.
So coming up, keep an eye out. Go to lvms.com, click on the bullring link. You can find the schedule there. And we'll see you live here next Tuesday at 6 p.m. We may or may not have Kevin Correll. So, hope your dad's doing well.
Well, hopefully his dad is doing well. Kevin's dad did well.
But if you do, then we'll see you guys next Tuesday at 6 p.m.
We'll find out. We'll find out. We'll start to put the box. So,
sounds good. We'll see you live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. one way or the other.
Thanks for coming in.
You betcha. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening.
See you guys.